Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is Under a Shady Tree, but it is now Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. Okay. And my lady, my love, are you there?
I most certainly am.
All right. And we're going to be doing some recording work over the weekend, and next week we should have a new show opener. Same music, just introducing us instead of Terry and Onyx, it'll be Terry and Robin. So thank you for joining the show with me and sharing Thursday nights on the air. So wow, interesting day getting over here. Yeah, I'm live from central Pennsylvania tonight. I managed to get home tonight. My boss gave me a 4-day weekend, and so I left work a little early to get stuff together and set out diligently at the proper time, only to hit construction and rain on the interstate. And the GPS that is insisting on taking me back to the interstate. And and I'm trying to get off the highway and go on back roads. And then finally it takes me, I pull over at Robin's suggestion. I pull over and I go to the settings and say avoid highways. So then it takes me on a circuitous route south of the interstate along to then turn back, go under the interstate again to finally get to this town in the middle of nowhere to take a windy back road in the rain, getting darker, and hills and valleys and turns and sweeping vistas. And I'm sure it was beautiful if I had not been, in the rain and semi-darkness. To get here. So I made it home and had a wonderful dinner with my family, and here we are on the air with you guys. So I am truly blessed to share my Thursday night, not just with my lady, but with all of you. So thanks for being with us. And my lady, you have something to say. I think I cut you off, and I apologize.
Nope.
All right. Well, that was a quick show. All right.
Oh, God.
He's that kind of nice. I can see it.
Well, no, I was sitting here thinking as you were telling your travails of how you got here this evening, that just more proof of how much you love me that you'll put up with that construction on the highway and you didn't just turn around and say, you know what, screw it, I'll see you tomorrow. So thank you.
It'll have been just about as quick as that's where I was telling you. But I was just, led, called home. I had to get here, so. Anyway, enough of that. It is cold and rainy, and Mother Nature's hormonal or something, because she can't figure out what season we're in. You know, I thought we'd given spring completely a miss and gone straight into summer, and then, back to cold, and who knows what we're going to have tomorrow. The forecasters think they know, and they'll lie to us, and we'll wake up in the morning and figure it out. But anyway, so let's see. Did you have anything that you wanted to share before we get this party started?
I just want to say that I'm really glad that you made it this evening. And you're right. You needed to come home. Mother Nature is not the only one who's feeling particularly hormonal this week. And for which, again, you have the patience of of Job to have put up with me this week. I'm my body hasn't decided what it wants to do yet, whether it really wants to take that headlong leap into, postmenopausal cronehood, or whether it's still trying to hold on to its reproductive years. But whatever the heck it's going to do, it better do it soon, because I don't know if anybody around me, and that includes my daughter and the kids next door and everybody around me, can take much more of this, including me. I'm usually very even-keeled and not so much this week, let me tell you.
So maybe the weather's tied to your mood.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that might be a little bit, egocentric for me, but yeah.
I was just wondering if I need to wake up in the morning, check the weather before I start speaking to you.
That's it.
Some divining thing here, The wind's blowing in this direction. She's in this mood.
That's it. And I fully admit it. I even warned you, last week. I have no idea what's wrong with me, but And Shira is in the chat room, and she says, and don't forget Mercury retrograde. But yeah, I'm not quite sure how I feel about the retrograde thing, and how much effect it actually has. I'm not sure. I know I have friends who swear by astrology and all that stuff, and if it works for them, that's great. But I guess I have a practical side too, where I just feel like.
I think humans have enough trouble communicating without us worrying about.
Yeah.
Retrograde. Let's just keep pressing forward and keep communicating.
Exactly. Yeah. See, if they had taken our communication workshop, they wouldn't have to worry about retrograde.
There you are.
Is that my shameless plug for the evening?
Shameless plug. It's in the damn clock. All right.
Okay.
All right. So we do have some questions sent in by listeners.
Yes, we do indeed.
It's all about focus. Focus, focus, focus. All right. So do you want to start off the first question?
Surely. The first question here comes to us from one of our listeners, and it says, here's one of the most common questions I get from my students. When choosing stones and crystals, is there a basic knowledge of set stones, and do I have to adhere to those stones and those basics? I think what she's trying to say is, are there certain correspondences that go to certain stones that are, pardon the pun, set in stone. I couldn't resist.
Okay.
I know that was terrible.
Fun is the lowest form of humor. So is there a basic set? Like, okay, everybody should have a crystal, and everybody should have an amethyst, and everybody should have, and here's your little box starter kit of stones to get one started. Is that what we're going for here? Is that what the question's about?
I think so, perhaps. But I'm thinking maybe what she's talking also about is about correspondences to those specific stones. Like if it's amethyst, does it absolutely have to be about, you know, peace and calm, or can it be for something else?
I don't use it for peace and calm. I use amethyst for opening my third eye and my crown chakra and for a deeper connection to the divine. So I guess right there we differ.
There you go.
I think that answers that question. Okay.
But, you know what? It's that old adage, you know, you put three pagans in a room and you're going to get 12 opinions. So, yeah.
And we're off to a rambling start. No,
I will.
It's an interesting question. Go ahead.
I'm getting, actually, the person who gave us this question is actually in the chat room, and she's telling me that my interpretation is the one that is what she was looking for.
Okay, say your interpretation again, then.
The thing about, you know, the correspondences to the stones and how...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was actually going to go there, so...
Okay, good. I will recommend, I'm going to give a plug now to a book series that if you're really into crystals and stones and you really want to learn about them, write this down. The Love is in the Earth series by Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y. There are many, many of them. And... But every single one of her books has pictures of everything that you could ever want to see. Descriptions, talks about the vibrational frequency, what you can use them for, healings, and they go into great detail about all the stones. So I would gladly recommend those books to anybody now. That said, they may be out of print now. I don't know if they're still in print. I have to assume that they still are. If they are not in print, if you private message me or write to the radio station, I will look at my copies and find you the name of the publishing house and see if you can contact them directly if that's something you really truly desire.
Well, I've also got a couple of books that I love to work with, and one of them's quite a heavy tome. I mean, it qualifies as tome, I think. It's heavy reading, as long as we're into puns tonight. Anyway, so...
Lowest form of humor, remember?
Yes, I couldn't resist. So, it's called The Book of Stones, Who They Are and What They Teach.
I thought that book was about men, I'm sorry.
You thought that book was what?
Never mind.
Okay, I didn't actually hear what you said.
It's probably good.
This is written by Robert Simmons and Naisha Ossian. And it's got a lot of, you know, it's got pictures of each of the stones, goes into what element, what chakra they're associated with. It gets into... a whole lot of information, and each of these two have a little write-up about each stone, talks about how they interact with other stones. So I found this to be a very good book when I'm pairing up stones, because it talks about complementary energies and how that would work. And I'm being asked for the spelling on the author, and I'm presuming that the person's not asking for how to spell Robert Simmons. So I'm going to go for spelling Naisha, N-A-I-S-H-A, and the last name is A-H-S-I-A-N. And if you want to make it even easier, now this is in print, this is a relatively new copy, and if we want to make it really easy for you, I will tell you that the international standard book number is 978-1-55643-668-0. Yes, the ISBN, and I just read all those numbers off. And I'm sure that in a moment I will find a way to get that typed in. But it's a great book, and it really has worked well for me, pairing up stones. I like to do wire wrap and doing a wrap where I have a main stone and some side stones. Has worked out really well for me, and using these for magical purposes, charging them to a certain intent. Of course, many of these stones are going to have multiple properties, and it is through our intent that we select the properties of the stone, and we kind of attune ourselves to the stone itself. And I was also reading a very interesting article today about the chakras that associated some stones with the chakras. And I meant to print that out while I was at work today, but when I was given the day off my whole afternoon shifted gear into get everything done and get the hell out of here mode. So I did not get a chance to print that, but I hope to print that next week and go over it in great detail. I do have it saved as a PDF on my computer, and it's got a lot of correspondences. Now, one of the things going along with correspondences is I find if you've got a nice set of stones that have the colors, basically the colors of the chakras, whatever stone seems to work for you is probably the right stone. If amethyst is what you like, then cool. If blue is sodalite, cool. If it's sapphire, cool. Whatever stone is working for you. And get a nice array of seven stones that match up with the quarters or with chakras. And then you can do chakra work, and you can also pull off those stones of the associated colors to work with the quarters, and violet or purple for spirit. So, that could make a nice starter set, frankly, a good set of chakra stones. And understanding each stone is going to have its own kind of... its own vibration, its own frequency, its own energetic level. And while it might be associated with a variety of different things, like Robin was saying something about amethyst, and I work with amethyst, she's talking about peace and calm, and I'm working with it for my third eye and the crown chakra and connecting to the divine. Each stone, not every amethyst is going to work for either or. And so you want to kind of feel for a stone and set your intent and let the stone pick you.
Exactly.
I know it sounds very, very Harry Potter-ish with the wand picks the wizard or witch, but it's very much that way. The stone that has that frequency of what you're needing is the stone that you will feel. So if you set your intent to find a stone for this purpose, whatever that purpose is, whether it's peace and calm or it's protection or it's attracting love or healing some internal organ, whatever your intent, set your intent and use your receiving hand. And I'm not going to say that left or right is this or that. I write with my left hand, but I direct energy with my right hand. And my left hand is the hand I feel with. So whatever that is for you, use your receiving hand and feel the energies of the stones and feel the one that vibrates with or resonates with your intent. And that is the right stone to use. Even if the book says something different, if your intent is X and you're running your hands over the stones and that one vibrates at your palm, that's the right stone to use. Go ahead, Robin. I'm sorry.
I'm going to... How can I put this? Okay. In my experience, there are certain people who do not either know which hand is their receiving hand, or they just don't, they're not that sensitive. They don't understand how to, what it's supposed to feel like. They haven't experienced it enough to really have identified the receiving hand versus, you know, the outgo hand, if you will. So I'll tell you a story. My daughter, Persephone, she was about probably a year and a half, 2 years old, and I gave her a stone. I think we were unpacking. It was one of the times we moved. And so I'm unpacking, and I hand her a stone, and I say, you know, what does that feel like to you, sweetheart? And she immediately, without any instruction from me, held the stone to her third eye. Right to her forehead. And I was so blown away by that because it's such a common sense thing when you think about it. Here's this little child innately doing something that, why didn't I think of that? And I've had great success with adults who say to me, well, I don't know what my receiving hand is. I don't understand what that is. And you get that once in a while. Having them just hold the stone on their forehead over their third eye and letting them feel the stone that way and sense it. And I've taught this to people time and time again, and it does seem to be a little bit more accessible for most people rather than the receiving hand. So there are alternatives, because I've heard that, you know, the receiving hand thing for years, and sometimes some people just don't get it, they don't understand it. You know, normally for most right-handed people, the receiving hand is considered the left hand. But that's not always true. So it can be rather confusing.
Yeah, well, my experience has been that I didn't really, you know, I tried both hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a left-handed writer, you know, being, you know, I write and use fine tools with my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can just as easily pick up a tool with my right hand. I throw and use a sword as a right-handed person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I find that I direct energy more efficiently with my right hand, although I write with my left.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I determined which hand really was my sending hand, then I started working on the other hand just to feel things, feel the energy of things. And I became very tactile, you know, touching stones and, you know, holding my hand up to the air and feeling the motions and the movement of the air and just feeling all the sensations. And when I'm looking for a stone in a pile, and I do the same thing when I'm doing, when I'm casting runes. Sometimes I'll just throw out the runes and run my hand over them. And I'll feel a little, it's like almost like something crawling on the palm of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel right in the center of the palm. And that little tingle tells me to pay attention right there. If I've got an individual stone, you showed me the trick for holding it to my third eye, and I can get a real good idea of what that stone wants to be used for.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm picking a stone out of a box, say I'm at a rock shop somewhere or at an event, and someone's got a box of crystals, and I want a crystal to do such and such. Maybe I'm making a new wand, and I want to, I've got piles of crystals around here. If I'm making a new wand, and I say, which is the right stone for this wand? And I set my intent, and then I will feel all of the crystals in the box and determine from that. If I want one to give to someone, as a protection stone, maybe I'm going to do a wire wrap, make a pendant for someone. I will set my intent for that, and it will obviously be a different stone. But if I'm given a stone, or I'm wandering through a rock shop, and there's a really cool one down south of Allentown that I've been to a number of times, and if I'm just walking around and see a stone that catches my eye for some reason, then I'll use the third eye trick that Robin taught me. And what is this stone trying to tell me? Why did it catch my eye? Why did it glint as I passed it and catch the light in just that way? It's usually trying to get your attention. So, so those are, to me, very two different techniques, two different ideas of what I'm trying to accomplish, and two different methods. Niv is saying in the chat room about rock shops make her nutty. There's probably a joke in there somewhere too, but this rock shop down in I never can remember the name of the city, but it's called Bay's Rock Shop, and it's down the highway from Allentown, down like I'm going toward Reading, and it is a it's a wonderful store, and I've picked up a lot of stones that I've used in my wire wrapping, and stones that I've put into wands. So I just really, really enjoy that shop. The energies are interesting, and then you get the energies of the people that work there, and some of them feel almost immune to all of the swirl going on around them, and have to wonder if they're, if they're able to work with all these stones because they don't have the sense of them that we do. But anyway, it's a great store, and I love going to, that event where Robin and I were, 3 weeks ago now, 3-4 weeks ago, when we were down in Florida. It's like every other vendor was selling rocks, and I just kept wanting to stop and look at the rocks, and I know this is not what I'm here for.
That, and plus we're going to Kathy Krakalici's rock sale June 13th. I think it's Friday, June 13th. And so I told you weren't allowed to buy anything until we go there.
Well, there's that too.
We must wait and spend our money with Kathy.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what did you want to add to the whole selecting rocks? I know I got off on a roll because I do, obviously, I work with a lot of stones. I got all my wire wrapping stuff in there next to where Robin is sitting right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, back when I had my store, we had tons and tons of crystals. And people would come in all the time, and the famous question would be, what rocks do I need to be a witch? What stones should I have? And I would always tell them to look around and find what they were drawn to, no matter what it was that drew them to that particular rock. And it's funny how universal I found amethyst was. If I had a piece of amethyst in the store, somebody at some point in the near future, as soon as it got there, would come in and claim it. I couldn't keep it in the store long enough. Other stuff, not so much. Crystal quartz, was okay. People would come in and buy those because, that's like your universal do anything with it kind of stone. But amethyst, aquamarine, I'm trying to think of the things that were the most popular to sell. Tiger's eye, carnelian, some of those were the ones that always seemed to move, and I always had to replenish. Not necessarily my favorite stones. I certainly love amethyst. I have actually several large chunks of amethyst around the house. One of my favorites is malachite. So there's a whole bunch of stones that if I were to tell you what to buy, that would be it. But generally when people came in the store, I let them choose or let them commune, if you will, with the stones and choose what it was that was speaking to them. Because generally, whatever rocks are speaking to you must have something that you need. And that's usually, I think, the best way to choose them. And then as far as correspondences go, go with your gut. You know, if you open Scott Cunningham's book, for example, and it says that you should use pink quartz, rose quartz for a love spell, but that piece of rose quartz that you've got at home for you is really about healing, well, I would use it for healing. Go with your gut. Go with what you have. Go with what feels right. I mean, if you don't have a piece of, rose quartz and you want to do a love spell, use something else that feels right to you. I always, always, always bring down my tradition to the little old lady who lived on the fringe of the village out in the woods, who probably had one pot, one knife, and the things that were at her disposal and in season. So she had to learn to practice in a very practical, pragmatic way. I get very irritated with people who are like, well, you need to have an athame, and you need to have a bowline, and you need to have this, and you need to have that. I'm like, I really think that, especially going back to that time, if you had one knife that had a metal blade that you could sharpen, you probably used it for everything from cooking to craft making to slaughtering animals to eat to, it probably was your across-the-board knife. I don't think they had enough money to have lots and lots of different knives for lots and lots of different things. And so that's kind of the practicality with which I always approach my tradition and my craft. What have I got? What's accessible? And what do I absolutely have to have? And how can I make this all work for my purpose? So I guess that's my answer. Go with what your gut tells you to do. Is that about sum that up for that question?
Yeah, I think it's about time for a break.
Is it now? Oh, yeah, I see that.
So let's go ahead and take a short break. We're going to listen to Emerald Rose sing about the Dagger of the Moon. And we'll be back here in a few minutes. Stick around, everybody.
Is there a song that invests the storm, a cavern in spring and fall, with its cadence and stylized, the blistered palm holding its tune? And would you still stand here cocked alone, with the baying of blood-eared hounds, and suffer facing the serpent's bite, the dagger of the moon? Sing the heart of the water, shape the dun clay, see the fire, sink on the wind, spread your wings and fly high. Let the mirror call you, touch your doorway, no desire, broken and not, lest you surely die. Think on the wind, spread your wings and fly high. Let the mirror call you, touch your doorway, no desire, but open it not, lest you surely die. Hear the craft of the cauldron crowing and dancing a secret round. On cloven step the circle spoke in salted sands and tidal rooms. And hear a song that enchants the storm of dormant ringing mouth. Beyond the cloth of astral smoke, without the strident clock rights to open your eyes and let it roll, the dagger of the moon.
Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you, Virginia. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Oh, this is Reverend Terry Power, and this is Under a Shady Tree with my partner in crime, my love, my lady, Robin.
Hello,
how you doing, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. So before the break, we were talking about stones and choosing stones and that sort of thing. Now, I think we've got a similar question for the second half of the show. Do you have that ready for us?
Let's see. There's actually, says here, the other question that I have most often from students is if I'm to use herbs and I'm out of a particular herb that the spell calls for, can I use something else instead? Well, we kind of covered that with the stones, yes. Again, going back to my little old lady who lives at the edge of the woods and outside of town, the outsider of the village, if you will, use what you have on hand. There's no rhymes or reason. The most powerful thing you have when doing spell work is your mind and your intention. And the herbs, the stones, the candles, the accoutrement, if you will, is all just dressing. So one of the things I always have my students do is tell them that they need to work without all that stuff and create magic just from within themselves with working with their mind without any props, if you will. And everybody should know how to do that as a witch, because there may be some time in your life where you'll have to do that out of necessity. So,
yeah, sit on the park bench and do a whole ritual and never move a muscle.
That's right.
But for those that are interested, I do have to tell you that one of my favorite books for working with herbs is Cunningham's Complete Book of Incense, Oils, and Brews. And it's got this amazing table of substitutes, or tables for substitutions. And it gives you a lot of ideas to work with. A lot of times you'll find that you've got some very common things around the house that end up being very easily converted. And a lot of times I find that, like Robin was saying, sometimes if you want something, you need it, you just kind of find what you've got around the house and you dig around in this. If you want to make an incense on the fly and go through your cooking cabinet, and whatever feels right is probably what's right. I'm perhaps more into the keys, the accoutrement. I can just as easily sit in the park, but I do love to play with the oils and the incenses and the smells and the rocks and the candles, and oh my gosh.
Well, I do too. I just know that, I just know what they are. They are dressing. And I mean, I had a store and I did all that stuff and sold all that stuff to people and dressed candles for people and taught them how to do it and rolled beeswax candles with herbs in them for purpose. And I did all sorts of things for, for spell work and whatnot. But the bottom line is, if you don't have something and you really feel like you have to have that parsley or whatever it is, you know, whatever the herb is for that spell, and you don't want to substitute, well, do without. Just don't use that particular herb for that particular thing. Use something else. Use a stone. Use something else to represent that intent, because that's what all the things are in your spell work. They're just representing your intent. They are stepping stones, and they are, you know, they're adding their energy to it. And but ultimately, the intent and the energy is coming from you. You're gathering the energy from the universe with your intent, programming it, and sending it out there.
Absolutely.
I was going to say complete quiet in the room, crickets.
I was making sure, because I've been talking over you a little bit tonight, and I was pausing to make sure that I didn't do that. And I want to apologize for that early.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Now, I agree with you with one caveat.
Uh-oh.
I think that once we program a stone to an intent and work with its vibrational energies, I think it's going to vibrate the energy of the universe quite happily without it. And I don't think that all of the energy from that crystal or that stone is directed by us. I think it will continue to do its job.
Absolutely.
For a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. So that's the one caveat to what you said about it's all about our directing the energy of the universe. I do think stones keep vibrating and doing their job.
Well, everything around us has its own vibrational frequency, whether it's a stone or an herb or a plant or a tree or the kitchen table. Everything has its own vibrational frequency. Vibrational frequency. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, yeah, I do agree. You know, and that stone was vibrating long before you decided to buy it in a store and use it in a spell. And you know, it has its own frequency, which is, in a lot of ways, those frequencies, we have frequencies in our bodies. And in a lot of ways, those frequencies are what attracts us to certain stones, because it either harmonizes with our frequency or it matches our frequency in some way. And again, Love is in the Earth by Melody. Read it. She talks about it. So.
Yeah, and everything's got a life cycle. So an herb's effect is going to last for a certain period of time. You know, it is a very finite thing. The incense does its job through intent and the work we do. And it's like the life cycle of a plant, it's fairly short. Stones, like Robin said, have been doing this for a lot longer than we've been around. And we'll continue doing it long after we are gone. And if we attune ourselves to that particular frequency, to that particular stone, we can direct that energy toward our intent, but it's going to keep doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to do it in its time, just like it has for the millennia before we picked it up. And so things have a certain time frame. And stones operate in a much longer time frame than we do. And that's also something else to remember. If you're looking for the most immediate effect, using a stone is probably not your best course of action, because the stone's effect is going to be long and drawn out and over time, and it's going to function in its own time. Oils and incenses tend to have a more immediate effect, just like the life cycle. But stone's energy is slow, even at times ponderous, but it's a deeper and more lasting effect.
Hmm.
So,
not sure.
You're not sure you're agreeing with me on that one.
Yeah, not sure I'm agreeing with you on that one.
I think that stones do take a longer, it's a deeper feeling. It's more, it's just like the stone itself. It's around, and it's going to be around for a long time, and it doesn't have the same concept of time. It's not operating on our time. It's operating on its own time, so it's going to have a longer effect, a deeper effect. And sometimes, in my opinion, in my experience, a longer time to develop. So that is my personal experience with it. Yours may be different. And each of you listeners may be different, and that's cool too. I'm just here to talk about my experiences and my thoughts and opinions and feelings, and everybody's going to go and do whatever they're called to do anyway. At least I hope they are.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I feel a little bit differently about that is some of the work that I've done with crystal healing grids, where you lay a circle of crystals down on the ground, on the floor, and you have the person who's looking to be healed stand within it, inside the circle. And when you let them experience that vibrational energy, and then as the healer with this sort of medicine wheel circle, you take out some of those stones and replace them with different stones, you change the vibrational frequency, you change the healing immediately, and the person in the circle can feel it. And the person who has created the circle can also feel the shift. And I've been the person in the circle, and I've been the person laying down the stones. And odd, funny enough that we were talking about Kathy Cracolucci earlier, she was the very first person to teach this to me, I don't know, 20 years ago. And so I do think that stones have an immediate effect. They also do, I agree, have a slow and continuous, long, ongoing effect. But they can, in the right circumstances, have an immediate effect on their environment and on the people that are exposed to them.
Okay.
I'll do it for you someday. We have enough stones around the house to lay out a grid, and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can see how we would feel a change, an immediate change in the vibration of a circle of stones. And their effect may be profound, but I think the effect would probably also be longer and continuous. And while it may begin immediately, that may be where we were differing. As I said, that sometimes it can be slow to develop. And you're saying that in your experience it's been an immediate effect, and it may continue longer and develop over more time, but you say that there's an immediate feeling and immediate effect.
Yes.
Where I was saying in a spell it may take a little longer to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was also talking about using a crystal or something in a spell,
mm-hmm.
whereas you're talking about actually working with the stone in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are talking about two different things to a certain degree as well. So we're not actually disagreeing. Oh, no.
Well, no, we're not disagreeing. I'm just trying to point out an alternative theory. How about that? We do have one more question if we'd like to try to squeeze it in here before the end of the hour.
Yes. Yeah, it's two witches and five definitions.
That's
exactly.
It. That's it.
Is it a related question or is it off on a tangent?
It's an unrelated question.
Okay, well, why don't we save that for next week?
Oh, okay. This is a teaser, folks.
Yeah.
Tune in
the
next week.
A completely unrelated question.
That's right.
Something that I know the question, and I think it's going to take longer than the few minutes we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than giving it short shrift and the final closing minutes of the show, I think the question actually deserves probably an entire starting segment.
Okay.
And so we'll lead with that question next week so that we give it the proper amount of attention, because it's a very important question. And I would hate to give it a short answer. And besides, it's a little more serious, and we've not been near serious tonight.
This is true. This is true.
So it would be kind of a downer at the end of the show.
And Niv's got it. Same to be continued. Same bat time, same bat channel. Absolutely. I am Robin, after all.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Terry's Batman or not, but he could be.
I'm Batty-Man.
Batty-Man.
I'm getting there anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
We can't be serious enough to this. There's no way.
Oh.
So.
Yes, Shira, he does wear tights on occasion, and he does actually look kind of cute in them.
That's right. He has worn tights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think I looked better, you know, better than just pretty good.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself. No ruffles. No, she doesn't allow chips in the house at all.
Funny. No, we prefer it. We prefer the unruffled Lays. Thank you. No. Oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you, my lady.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm getting the nice butt comment in the chat room.
I see.
So.
Yeah. That's my partner in crime on Friday nights. It's Lisa.
All right. So at this point, no ruffled tights, no. No ruffled tights. Now I might have a gather or two on the shirt that I wear under the doublet. Or sometimes I'll just wear it open like as a jerkin. But no. No, no ruffles on the tight. Anyway. So, my lady, my love, how do people get in touch with us?
Oh, let's see. littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's an email address that you can email either Terry or I at. We share that address. You can check us out on Facebook at Reverend Terry Power HP, or at Robin A. McKean for myself. Also, you could go to Spiritual Wellness Physical Health to get in touch with me on Facebook. That's a Facebook page for my show. And you can also email the station if for some weird reason you think that you really think we're great or you don't like us at all. Feel free to drop us a line and tell us what you don't like or what you do like. And you reach us.
Or if you have questions for Thursday night, send them to cern.org@gmail.com.
That's
and put
right.
Questions for Thursday.
That's right.
In the subject line. And that way, that's how we get many of our questions. Sometimes they come in through private message and Facebook. Sometimes we get them at Little Stone Bridge Path Workings Facebook page, and sometimes we get them from the occasional phone call, private emails, but it's easiest if you send the questions to cern.org@gmail.com or to littlestonebridge@gmail.com. So, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, I'm safe to talk now. Okay.
Pray continue.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that was pretty much it. I think you pretty much covered it. I think we have a Twitter thing, which I can never remember. What is it? CERN?
At CERN_ORG.
Okay. Yeah, I don't do the Twitter thing. So.
Now you can follow me on Twitter at RevTerryPowerHP.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. We're easy to find. We're everywhere.
Yeah, I just have to tell a quick cute story before we go. My mother sent me a Facebook message the other day saying, "My gosh, Robin, I see your advertisement for your radio show everywhere, all over Facebook. It's a lot bigger than I actually thought."
Right, Mom.
My mother has never once listened to the show, any of them. I love her, but she just thinks it's that little thing that her daughter does, you know. She's my mother. What do you want? I love her. She's a mom.
All right. So do you have any final thoughts on this evening?
Final thoughts on the evening. Well, thank you, as always, to everybody who shows up in the chat room, because it's always so much fun. And the fact that we have these people who come every time we're on the air to listen to us, like Roseanne and Navasi and Shira and Lily, just warms my heart so much that you guys come out and support us and want to
come hang out with us.
Hang out with us and want to spend an hour of your life so frequently with us just is really sweet. And so I want to thank you guys for that. It's like I can always count on you guys showing up. So thank you very much. And other than that, Lisa and I will see you tomorrow night on the air. I'm turning around here to look at my calendar. Anybody who was at last Friday night show, I did hear from Mr. Arnold. He is fine. He had some issues with moving that sort of needed his attention, and which was why he couldn't be here last Friday. And we will be rescheduling him tomorrow. I do not have anything penciled in for the calendar, so Lisa, you and I have to sit down and talk about that. But on Friday, June 5th, we will be having Ed Fitch. That's the next guest that I know of. So that's it.
All righty then. Well, I want to echo my lady. Thank you all for being with us. Those of you in the chat room, those of you listening live through other means, and those of you listening to us in the archives. Well, because this is not a convenient time for everybody, so I know there's a lot of listeners that come in and download the show in the archives, whether you get it from iTunes or here at Blog Talk Radio Archives or any of the other myriad ways that that people find us. We're glad you're here. And we're glad you share this time with us, and we are honored. You know, going back to the stones and to the herbs, and one of the echoing, I guess, something that Robin said as well, and something that we say on a regular basis here on the show. Work with what feels right. You know, feel the stone, feel the herb. If you're interested in working with stones, or if you're interested in working with herbs, do a little research. Spend some time with the herbs. Spend some time with the stones. With the stones, holding it to your third eye. That was a very excellent suggestion that Robin gave me, and I have used. With the herbs, I like to light a block of charcoal. And if I'm not familiar with an herb, I'll take a little pinch of it, drop it onto a charcoal block, and smell it, and feel it, and open my senses to it, and experience that herb by itself, and spend time with it, and just spend that period of time experiencing that herb. And then write down what you feel. Write down what you think, what ideas come to you. And then when you're working with herbs later, you'll already have a feel for the components. You'll know what smells affect you, what they mean to you, because certain smells are going to mean something completely different to me than they might mean to you. It might be a cultural memory. It might be a childhood memory. You know, I might have had a wonderful experience with a certain smell, and my memories are going to associate that, whereas that same smell to someone else might have a negative connotation, a negative memory imprinted onto that smell. So the best way to learn is to spend time, smell them, crush up the herb in your fingers, smell your fingers, burn a little bit of it, get a feel for the energy, and just spend time with it. Same thing with the stones. Spend time with the stones so that you know what each stone really wants to work on, and attune your workings to the stone, because it's not going to change for you. So you just got to work with it.
Can I mention one thing before we get off the air? And I'll be brief. In regard to herbs and substitutions, one of the things that I've always allowed to guide me through the years is something called the doctrine of signatures. And I know it's somewhat controversial inside the path. You know, some people believe it has credence and other people don't. But if you know your herbs and you know where that herb grows and you know the way the stem is configured and the way the leaves grow and, you know, the type of energy that it has, you can, by looking for an herb that grows in a similar way, that has a similar construction, that grows in a similar place, that it will have a similar energy or be able to be used for a similar healing or a similar energy work for a spell. So if you're interested in knowing what the Doctrine of Signatures is and you haven't heard of it, go out to the internet, type in Doctrine of Signatures, and see what pops up. And again, if you have any questions about that, feel free to email me. I told you I'd be quick.
Yeah. Thank you again, everybody, for being with us. Let your own senses be your guide. As with all things we talk about, the answers are usually within us. We just have to sit down, shut up, and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I believe it's time to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, and blessed be.
Good night, all. Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.